Well, it is good to have you all with us today. And as we're coming up on the Christmas season, one of the questions I want you to think about is, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think about Christmas Day? So I know we've kind of talked about this in on family night for a couple weeks, but we all have our fond memories of Christmas Day. You know, maybe it's with different family gatherings that we used to do, or some family gatherings that we're looking forward to doing, that maybe new traditions, old traditions. You know, maybe you are one of those that just enjoys going out and picking up that perfect gift. Or maybe you're one of those that struggles every year and you're just trying to figure out what to buy your significant other or your friends. You know, or maybe it's Christmas programs. You know, that's one of the things that has always been a memory for me. You know, next Wednesday, I got to look, and this will be our 23 Christmas programs that Miss Judy and I have done here, and I'm not going to say how many before that, so I don't get in trouble with Miss Judy. That, you know, and so I think of Christmas programs because of children's choirs, adult choirs. I've always been involved in music, so that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Or what about caroling? You know, we've hear carolers go out singing. I'm one of those that, for some reason, starting about October, I start singing Christmas carols in my head. And I didn't realize this, but when I was going to school, I always, after I would get out the back door of the school, starting to walk to the locker room or something, I'd start singing Christmas carols. And I never realized that the kindergarten class could hear me. I always thought the wall was thick enough until the day I graduated. And the teacher said, you know, Jonathan, we're going to miss hearing you sing Christmas carols in October. And they had never told me, and I guess the kindergartners weren't going to tell me, that they always heard me sing Christmas carols through October and November, you know. Or maybe you think about expressing gratitude for what God has done. Maybe this is a time of year that you truly think about your relationship with Christ. You know, what I remember, one of my earliest Christmas memories that I have from Christmas Day is that my parents would always set out our gifts in two chairs, that we had two wingback chairs that were in our den. And so as soon as everybody would get ready and come down, and we actually talked about this in my Sunday school class this morning, our great aunt and uncle celebrated Christmas with us. And so we would always have to wait for them to get up. My dad would always have to go make a Diet Coke. And so we're sitting there just anxious, ready for them to open the door. And my dad opened the door, and we both go running in, and I go to my chair, and there's a pile of clothes. And what's worse is that there was over a dozen pair of underwear. A little side note, because my mother ran a clothing store, I didn't know underwear came in less than a dozen until I had to buy it for myself years later. But anyway, you know, I ran in, and all I saw were these clothes, and I was like, you know, what's the gift? You know, I don't want clothes for Christmas. But I was just so anxious that I passed my real gift that my dad had hidden back over behind me, because I was just so anxious to run in there. And so we all have these fun things, or these fun memories that we have of Christmas Day. But would Christmas Day still have the same meaning to you if it wasn't the day that Christ was born? I mean, you think about that as a believer. Would Christmas Day still have the same meaning to you if it wasn't the fact that that's the day that we celebrate Christ's birth? Because then it would just be a day of giving gifts. But, you know, as believers, we know that Christmas Day is so much more than just a time to give gifts to loved ones or to spend time with loved ones. You know, we celebrate that day as the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, if we think about it, sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden. And this is just one more huge step in God's plan to save us from sinners when He sent His Son to the earth to eventually go to the cross. Because if you think about it, God's love for us was shown when He entered the world as a little infant in a manger in an obscure little village in Bethlehem. You know, so as we talk about Christmas Day, I don't want you to just to think about it's the day that Jesus came to earth to save sinners. I want you to think about your personal Christmas Day, the day that Jesus was born into your life. You know, the day that Jesus changed your life and when you became a believer, I want you to think about that as your Christmas day. You know, throughout Scripture, you know, we are given many accounts of people's first Christmas day. You think about it on Paul, who is a persecutor of Christians on the road to Damascus. That was his Christmas day. That's when Christ got his attention, grabbed a hold of him, and said, "Paul, Paul, you know, why are you persecuting me?" That was Paul's first Christmas day. You think about the lame man whose friends lowered him through the roof. That was his first Christmas day. The lady who touched the hem of Jesus' garment as he was walking through the streets, and she was healed. The demon-possessed man who had been living in the confines of a graveyard away from his family, couldn't even visit his mother because of the demons that he was possessed with. Jesus came and made the demons go away. That was his first Christmas day. So as we look through Scripture, we can find many, many examples of people's first Christmas day. But today I want to look at another man's account of a Christmas day. And I guess that's the advantage or maybe disadvantage of having to fill in for Brother David. I don't have any series that I'm going through for Christmas, and I don't want to steal any of his Christmas series. So we're actually going to look in the book of Acts, you know, a common book that we go to in the time of Christmas. Acts chapter 8, verse 23. So if you'll turn to Acts chapter 8, verses 23 with me. Acts chapter 8, verses 26. And I'm going to pick up reading in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join the chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is his silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." You know, if we kind of summarize this passage a little bit, you know, we see that the eunuch is a high-ranking official from the Ethiopian royal court who encounters the evangelist Philip while he was on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The Ethiopian, though he was a Gentile, he was considered an outcast in Jewish society, partly due to his physical condition, but also because he was a Gentile. But he was deeply devoted to his faith. And the thing was, he was seeking a deeper understanding of the Scriptures. So he sat in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah that he had purchased. And the Holy Spirit prompted Philip to approach him, and he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And so we see that the Ethiopians humbly confessed that he needed guidance. And Philip explained the passage of Isaiah to him. So as Philip spoke, the Ethiopian's heart was opened to the message of Jesus Christ. And then as we see at the end of that passage, upon reaching a body of water, the Ethiopian asked Philip to baptize him, declaring his faith in Jesus and his Lord as a Savior. You know, as we go into the holiday season, it's a time of celebration for a believer. You know, and we don't celebrate Jesus Christ's birth. We celebrate and remember that, yes, you know, we know Jesus was born, but we need to remember that Jesus also took on our sins and became the ultimate present of salvation through his death on the cross. His birth would not be celebrated without the gift he gave us on the cross. And so the first thing I want us to look at as believers this morning is that as believers, we have a responsibility this Christmas. You know, Matthew 28:19, a passage we're very familiar with, says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You know, we have a great example here in this passage as we see that Philip, he was a faithful believer. You know, Philip allowed God to lead him. So, you know, God wanted him to share the gospel to a specific individual. And so God guided him. You know, Philip had no way of knowing all the details of the task ahead, but he continued knowing God would guide him. You know, if we think about it, it says that he had to go to a desert place. So it wasn't the most comfortable place to go to, nor the most comfortable place or time of day. But Philip knew his duty, and so Philip was faithful to his calling. He was a faithful believer. And so through his faith, he got up and he went. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So, you know, this Christmas, there is a strong likelihood that you're going to engage some friends and family who don't know Christ as their Savior. And unfortunately, friends and family can be some of the hardest people to share the gospel with. You know, due to fear and rejection or disapproval, you know, sometimes sharing our faith can make us feel vulnerable, you know, and that our family may not accept our beliefs. You know, we may feel like our family may ridicule us or criticize us. You know, so fear itself can keep us from sharing. But also, if you think about it, maybe some of our families have different values and priorities. And so sometimes that makes it hard to find a common ground for us to share the gospel with them. And then also you think about in the holiday season, you know, one of the excuses that we can come up with is timing. You know, we may feel like, it's the holiday season. You know, I don't want to start anything. I don't want to bring up anything that's going to cause maybe a family controversy or discussion. And so we may feel like our family doesn't want to be bothered with it over the holidays. But we must be like Philip. We must be faithful to God's calling. Because Philip was being faithful. And when Philip was being faithful, this is what he found. He found a foreigner who was a high-ranking official. He was a worshiper who was actually seeking after God. He was someone who had spent money to buy an Isaiah scroll, and he was reading scripture, but he just didn't understand it. He needed guidance. You know, so Philip took that opportunity to engage because he was being faithful to Christ. Christ provided that opportunity. So as you think about it, when we encounter family or friends this holiday season that are lost, you know, first of all, we must think about it. Have we taken it to God in prayer? And the second of all, are we being faithful to God's call? Because when we are faithful, God will provide us that strength. He will provide us that encouragement. He will provide us that knowledge to know what to say. So not only do we, as believers, we have the responsibility this Christmas, but second, as believers, we must engage those opportunities that God puts before us this Christmas. You know, we have to take advantage of this season. You know, as I pointed out a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, people are more receptive to talk about Jesus around the Christmas season. You know, churches report the highest attendance usually on Christmas Eve or the weeks leading up to Christmas, just as much as they do around Easter, those two times of year. And so people are more willing to hear about Christ, you know, because this is the time of season that we celebrate. And most people have at least heard that Christmas represents the birth of Christ. So it's an easy stepping off point. You know, Philip took advantage of that situation. We see that in Acts chapter 8, verses 29 through 35, we see how Philip took advantage of the situation that God placed him in. First of all, we see that Philip obeyed, that he engaged the calling of the Holy Spirit, and he interacted with the Ethiopian. He discovered he was open to engagement because he heard him reading Scripture. And so because Philip was faithful, he had that way to, that almost that way in, if we want to say, because he heard him reading Scripture, he heard the Ethiopian reading Scripture, so he knew, hey, this is a way that I can present the gospel to him. You know, just as I said, Christmas is a time that people are already thinking about Christ, because for most of us, that's at least we've heard about, even non-believers have heard about it being Jesus' birthday. But so, besides Philip obeying, Philip initiated. Philip started up the conversation. Now, I understand that there's people that are shy, and that is a hard thing. For most of y'all, if I told you that I was shy, you wouldn't believe me. But when I go somewhere, I generally do not start a conversation. However, if you start a conversation with me, I will talk to you for hours. But I'm not an initiator of conversation. And so that's one thing that we have to, as believers, we have to ask God to help us be faithful in that. Because Philip started up the conversation. He didn't wait for the Ethiopian to start a conversation with him. Philip took the lead. So Philip obeyed, Philip initiated, but also Philip met him at his point of need. Philip joined him in the chariot. You know, even though the Ethiopian was a faithful follower of Christ, he lacked the understanding. And we know he was a faithful follower because he traveled a long way to worship there at the temple. And he had spent a lot of money to buy an Isaiah scroll, and that he also was reading that scripture. And so Philip took the time to explain the gospel message to him. You know, if you think about it, many people don't have a relationship with Christ for that exact same reason. They lack understanding. You know, and it may just be the understanding they know who Christ is. They know that Christ is somebody that believers talk about, that died on a cross, was born in a manger, that healed people, that did miracles, but maybe they don't understand that it's a lifestyle. Maybe there's scriptures that they don't put together. So a lot of people don't have that relationship because they lack that understanding. And they may need a fellow believer just to guide them. You know, you think about it, we should have so much joy as Christians that we want the same for the world. But especially we would want that same joy for our family and our friends. You know, if you think about it, if we know the joy of salvation and we know that death is not the final thing, that we know that this place is only temporary, that there's a place waiting for us where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more hurting, no more crying, wouldn't we want to share that with our friends? You know, I'm one of those that when something good happens, I immediately want to share it with my friends. I enjoy that we have the technology of text messaging, because we'll send out crazy stuff to our friends. Just on a good cup of coffee sometimes, my friends will get a text message that, wow, they did a really good job this morning making this coffee. You know, and so, but we have the joy of salvation. Wouldn't that be something that we truly would want to share with our friends? You know, we must take advantages of the chances that God provides for us, because we never know when it might be that last chance to share Christ with a friend or with a family member. So not only as believers must we engage the opportunities that God puts before us this Christmas, as believers we must recognize that everyone is welcome into the family of Christ. You know, the Ethiopian became a part of the family of God. We read that in Acts chapter 8, 36 through 38. His baptism showed that he had faith in Jesus Christ, and he was now becoming a part of the Christian community, that he gave that outward sign that he wanted to be a believer. You know, we know if we study in detail more about the Ethiopian, that he would have been formally disqualified through the Old Testament laws to become a believer. However, through Jesus dying on the cross and doing away with that Old Testament law, he was welcomed into the family of God with no strings attached. You know, 1 John 2:2 says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says, "For just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." You know, Philip and the Ethiopian were from different backgrounds, different races, but Philip still engaged him. And through his baptism, he became part of God's family. As I was studying through this passage and reading some different commentaries, I came across this story that one of the commentary writers wrote. And it says, in 2005, Christmas Day fell on a Sunday. Many churches decided to shut their doors on Sunday morning so their ministry staff could spend time with their families. David heard the young man, David is the writer, David heard the young man, the young wife of a minister at a large church that had decided to hold services on Christmas morning, lament that it was not fair for the ministers and staff to come to church and miss that precious time with their family. She said, "No one will be there. The only people who will come are the singles and the older people without families." A single adult who was uninvolved in a church overheard this remark and was shocked. And she later said, "I thought the church was to be a place where those without families could go and find a home." She said later, "Isn't the church supposed to be the home for the homeless, the family for the familyless? You think about it, the church should be a family, especially for those who have none." You know, when you think about the holiday season, that's when we sometimes miss our family. That's when we go through times where we may miss those that have passed away over the past year or even long time before, because Christmas is usually a time with family. But think about those without a family, especially if they're not a part of God's family. But those who have accepted Christ, those that are a believer, those that understand what it means, that joy to be a believer, they're a part of the family of God. You know, as I read that, I can remember feeling just as guilty because Christmas has fallen on Sundays as I've been in leadership here. And you think about having to get up on Christmas morning and coming to worship service. And I think, was it last year maybe? I think it fell again. But you start to get a different thought about it if you think about truly what you're celebrating Christmas and the fact that we do get to come and we do get to worship together as a family. Because, you know, our church family, and this is something that I think that we are excellent at this church, and I love when we start telling the stories about how, as a church family, we have learned from each other, but how important our church family is to each of us. You know, I know that in the passing of my parents, if it hadn't been for our church family, you know, they helped us get through every bit of that. And they helped, and I know a lot of you have those same testimonies as you've gone through times and trials in your life, if it wasn't for that church family to help you get through. And so you think about it, even around Christmas time, how important family is and how important it should be that we want those lost in the community to be a part of that church family, because we want to be one big church family. You know, as believers, you know, if you think about it, besides our church family, you know, it's easy to feel tempted to avoid interaction with family and friends. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, it's a time because we might not particularly like some of our family members. You know, however, you know, if you think about it, that remembering that our love for Christ should extend to even those who are difficult to love. You know, we are called to share the gospel message with them, even during the holidays, because I guarantee you, over the holidays, you might experience that family member that you just don't care for that much. Or maybe a friend that's just kind of annoying, but they're part of your friend group, so you do put up with them. But if you think about it, as a believer, as a child of God, shouldn't we be showing them the same type of love that we show everybody else? Because we truly should want them to be a part of God's family. Last point that I want to make is, as believers, we can celebrate the joy of Christmas. You know, the Ethiopian truly had his first Christmas day when Philip shared the gospel with him. You know, we can celebrate the joy of Christmas because we know the true meaning of Christmas. As believers, we can have the joy of Christ himself reigning in us. You know, John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So shouldn't we want others to have that same joy? John said in 3 John 1-4, it says, or 1, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." You know, we're all familiar with Philippians 4:4, where it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice." So I want you to think about it. As we get together with our family over the holidays, is there someone in your family who has not truly experienced a true Christmas day? You know, and think about it. How could you be the one that leads them towards that? Christmas is all about family. You know, who is someone who may not fit into the typical mold of maybe your Christian family that may need reaching out to? You know, we must embrace the family and friends who need Christ this Christmas season. You know, we need to think about those people who may be the sandpapers in our lives. Or while we're at those family get-togethers, we may not really want to be at, you know, how we can use those opportunities to share the love of Christ and the hope of the gospel this Christmas. I want you to think about this statement. Don't let someone miss the Christ of Christmas because you aren't willing to share the Christ of Christmas. Would you listen to that one more time? Don't let someone miss the Christ of Christmas because you aren't willing to share the Christ of Christmas. You know, as I told you that story, as my parents opened the door and we ran in to see our gifts, I missed the greatest gift I was getting that week or that for that Christmas because I was so focused on what I thought my present was going to be or I thought where I needed to go. But I ran right past the real gift. We can't be so focused on all of the other stuff of Christmas that we truly pass by the true meaning of Christmas. And that's that Christ gave us the greatest present of all. He sent his son to be born. And that should be a joy that we have in our hearts, a joy that we want to share, and a joy that we want to give to others. Philip's a great example, as we see in this story in Acts, how as a believer, we should be challenged to follow God's command and share with others. So my prayer for you today is that you always have the courage to share your first Christmas day with others. You know, and as we have our time of invitation, you know, only you know truly where you stand with Christ. And so maybe there's somebody that, as I've been going through this sermon, that you've thought about that you truly should be sharing Christ with. You know, I ask you to, during our time of invitation, I ask you just to lift that challenge up to God. Pray to him to guide you. Maybe you have a family member that you know you're going to encounter this Christmas that is not saved. And maybe you've tried in the past to share the gospel with them and they've just put you off. Pray for that family member. Maybe you have a friend, or maybe there's a coworker, just somebody that you're around that you know doesn't know Christ, but you've just said, you know, it's not my job to share it with them. May Christ put that on your heart, and may you lift that up to God. But if you're also here today and you've never truly celebrated your first Christmas day, I hope that today you will make that choice to follow Christ as your Savior. We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to ask Miss Judy just to come play the piano. I'm going to stand out front. If you want to join our church fellowship, join our family, we would love to have you come. If you need someone to pray with you, I'll be down front here to pray with you. Our altar is always open for you to come and pray. I challenge you to pray there in your seat for those that you are going to encounter this year who truly, truly have not experienced their first Christmas day. If you'll bow your heads with me with prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, and we thank you for this time, Lord, that we can come and sing praises to your name. We can read scripture. We can enjoy the family of God. Lord, we know that there are people in our lives who maybe we've been too shy, too scared, or just for some other reason has blocked us from sharing the gospel with them. Lord, we ask that you would open up our eyes to those around us who truly need to experience you, that truly need a relationship with you. Lord, we ask that you also give us the courage, Lord, as we go through this holiday season, that we are a living example for you, that people would see Christ in the way that we act and the things that we do. Lord, as we go through this time of invitation, Lord, if there's anybody in here struggling or there's anybody in here questioning, Lord, we ask that you would put it on their heart, or they would go to another believer here in the room, another Christian family member. Lord, that they would always be willing to help for their lack of understanding, to ask help for their lack of understanding. We thank you for all the many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.